Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. Aren't you glad for the Word of God? You know, the longer I live, the more I know that I'd be nothing without God's Word. I wouldn't make it without His Word. There's no way. If it hadn't been for the Word of God, I would have perished. Really. Obviously, you know, you wouldn't have gotten born again without the Word, right? Because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. But you know, just think about every day and how it sustains us. You know, the Bible says that He maintains creation by the word of His power. You ever think about that? Well, the stars are going to fall from the sky. The stars are going to fall from heaven. Now, what that means, I don't know for sure, but I do know that it's going to be something that's going to revoke a natural law that God made. His natural laws are powerful, and His Word holds everything that is, keeps it going. So if that's the case, then that every beat of my heart. Hear it? Uh-huh. That's part of His sustaining us, isn't it? Every beat. Every step we take, every word that we speak, you know, all of that is maintained because of what He's done for us. And so if we think about it that way, then as we look into what we've been studying about His body here on this earth, remember what I said a few minutes ago? He left us here. We're here now. I mean, think about it. You know, if He didn't have a plan for us and purposes for us, then the way you would do it is you'd get people born again and they'd immediately be raptured. Or die, right? I mean, there's no sense leaving them here. But He needs us here, right? He needs us here. Maybe that 144,000 thing would be the way that would work. You know, you just have 144,000 that stay around here and get everybody born again, and then they just go. You know, that it worked. But that's not His plan. That's not His purpose. His plan and purpose is that we become born again. And we talked about this a few weeks ago. It's all about serving. Our call, our ministry is all about our service to Him. It's all about us being servants in the kingdom of God or ministers. And so when we talk about ministry, we've made this statement that when we talk about ministry, sometimes we think about position. But really, when we talk about ministry, we ought to think about service. For Jesus said that he that'll be the greatest among you will be the servant of all. So that's our place. That's His plan. And so when we think about that now as the body, 1 Corinthians 12:12, for as the body is one, this body, the physical body, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Messiah or Christ. So also is the body of Christ. You know, sometimes when we look at other people's ministry, we just see them without problems. We see them as totally overcome, you know. They're already up there. They're victorious. And we look at them and we think, well, you know, they just always, you know, they're always ready to pray. They know what to say. They don't have any problems. But, you know, the fact is, if you lived a little time or walked a mile in their moccasins, as the old Indian saying was, you'd know that they face difficulties, struggles, trials, just like everyone else. And I think we talked about this a little bit the other night, that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to all of mankind. Do you realize that every temptation that Yeshua underwent here on this earth is something that is the same kind of temptation you and I can have? Now, the one thing that came to me about this is that, you know, the devil usually doesn't have to throw all of his arsenal at us because he finds one that works, right? And he'll keep bringing that one back until we learn to overcome it. And then he'll start on another one. Well, Yeshua overcame them all every time one came to him. So the Bible says he was tempted in all ways, like as we, and yet without sin. Always. So that scripture that says there is no temptation that's taken us, sometimes ours feel unique, don't they? You ever feel like, boy, that's a unique temptation. I'm sure nobody else has ever had to go through this. But it's not fact. They're all things that every one of us has to go through. And so I think sometimes when we look at people in the body and we see their place in the body, sometimes we think, well, that would be a better place, you know, because they just seem to, you know, they just seem to have it made. But it's not true. And you need to know that. Everybody has strengths. We talked about this on Thursday night too. Everybody has strengths. Everybody has weaker places, right? We won't call them weaknesses, but weaker places. Everybody, listen to me now, everybody comes under attack. It happens to all of us. And the attacks are just as devastating for one as they are for another, with the exception that when you come to the place where you understand rest, when the attacks come, you can smile. In fact, you might even laugh. You know, I used to listen to people talk about laughing. And I have to say, through the years, I understand it more. But for a while, it was like they were just putting it on. The devil do something and they just laugh like they were putting it on. But I'll tell you what, when you're in rest and the enemy throws his worst shot at you and you can look at him and say, is that all you've got? And laugh, you know what? You're in a good place. That's where you want to be. And being in the body and understanding that every one of us have places where we struggle. We have struggles. But here's the thing, we can all draw on the grace of God. Right? Is the grace of God extended to all men? You need to understand this. You know, we read in the Bible about some people just looks like they didn't have any grace at all. The only reason they didn't is because they rejected it. They rejected the grace of God. I talked about Pharaoh in the email this week. Pharaoh rejected the grace of God. That's how come Pharaoh's heart became harder. It started hard. I say it started hard. I mean, think about what he was. He was a tyrant. He was a man that was already treating Israel viciously. So all it was, you know, was that when he came then to God, came to him with his word, he just rejected it. And what happens when you reject is an action that God said. In fact, I believe it's one of his laws. You reject what I say, you'll get harder. If you reject my word, your heart will grow harder. And so, you know, don't ever stop and start to think that God created some vessels that just had no chance. They all had a choice. Every one of them. We look at it sometime, and this doctrine of election is a true doctrine that he did elect us to be. But it was because of understanding our hearts. Do you remember the Bible says that God knows the hearts of men? He knows this. And I believe this has to do with the way he created us to be in his body. We all have a place in his body. He made you with certain strengths. Let's not talk about our weaknesses. See, here's the thing about that. You got some. We all have some weaknesses. But that's why there's different parts in the body. Right? I've got one part of my body that sees really well. Another part that hears really well. But this eye has a terrible weakness when it comes to hearing, doesn't it? It's not a good hearer. This ear's not a good feeler. In fact, it's kind of, you know, doesn't have really too much sensitivity, especially my earlobes. I guess that's why everybody punches holes in their earlobes, because there's not too much sensitivity there. But you see, the weak parts are lifted up and sustained by the stronger parts near them. And that's the way it is in this body. That's the way it is in the body of Christ. That's the way it is at Living Word Christian Fellowship. We're set here. We're set here. The Bible says, now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. Well, you know, we know about apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. That's fivefold ministry. I believe that's the eldership of the church. I believe those are the people that are called elders. But they're not the only parts of the body, are they? What else is in the body? Look at Romans chapter 12, and let's look at some of the other giftings in the body. I wasn't going to do this at all, but it seems like this is what God wants to do today. Verse 4 says, "For just as there are many parts that compose one body, but the parts don't all have the same function, so there are many of us, and in union with the Messiah, we comprise one body, and each of us belong to the others. But we have gifts that differ, and which are meant to be used according to the grace that has been given to us." If your gift is prophecy, what is prophecy? Somebody here tell me what the gift of prophecy is as it's talked about in Romans 12. Because I want you to know this is a different gift of prophecy, I believe, than the gifting of prophecy that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Got Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. There are gifts of the Holy Spirit, manifestations, but there's a prophecy here that comes by the grace. Who are those people that prophesy? What does the word prophesy mean? Does anybody know? It means to tell forth. Did you know to tell forth, to speak forth? Did you know that, well, you know this. Some people are just gifted to tell forth. If I open it up in here, some will tell forth and some will shut up and hold back. Now, some of you ought to be telling forth that aren't. And everybody is supposed to speak about God's goodness and grace. Everybody's supposed to do it, but some are just specially gifted in it. It's easy for them. You can just tell it when they start to talk, can't you? You know that. So there's prophecy. And it says, if your gift is prophecy, use it to the extent of your trust. So you just speak out, and you do it by faith. It's the way it's done. You don't have to have a whole bunch of notes. We went to a full gospel business men's meeting one night, and I'll never forget it. I had this friend with me, and we knew that they were going to call on us to give some testimony. And this was up in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And this friend was with me, and just before they called him to get up, he looked at me and he says, "I lost my notes." And I said, "Good." Quietly. Quietly. And you know what? He got up there and he said just exactly what he was supposed to say. And the beautiful thing about this is, if you got notes, a lot of times you say until your notes end. He said until the Holy Spirit quit, and then he sat down, and guess what? It was just perfect. See, sometimes we kind of do things not by our trust. There's no trust in it. But sometimes we're doing it, you know, well, I've got to have a performance ready here. I got to be ready to say what I say. So some of you sit, and I know what you do. You pre-think everything you're going to say, and you get it all pre-thought. So you won't show your notes, but you're still doing the same thing. You don't have to do that. You can trust God, and you can speak. Well, that's prophecy. That's part of the body. He says, if it's serving. Well, that's serving is all kinds of ministry, isn't it? But we know that certain parts of serving show up more than others. I mentioned Bart here last week, I think, talking about Bart Opatrill. Wherever he is, he's Johnny on the spot if something needs to be done. I've watched him. He's a servant. He's just got that kind of a heart. Now, you know, he's a qualified mechanic. You know, he's a professional as far as it comes to mechanics. But, you know, he's a trash emptier too if it needs to be done. He's that kind of guy. Keith's like that too. Keith's the kind of guy that whatever needs to be done, he fills in. He'll do that. And there are different ones of you that I watch you. You know, I can see you down at our dinners here. Some of you just can't sit still. You got to get up and you got to start. That's serving. That's the kind of serving I believe it's talking about. And I think it's good. I think it's good. It says, if you're a teacher, use your gift in teaching. Well, you know, there are some people, and this, listen, every speaker is not a teacher. Did you know that? Some people speak to exhort. I like them. They're cheerleaders. Have you ever been in somebody's, maybe somebody's congregation, but in a meeting where these exhorters get up and they begin to speak, and everybody pretty soon, I mean, they can just have everybody on their feet naturally. You know, they've got a gift. It's a special gift to do it. But then there's teachers. And teachers are the guys that can take a subject and break it into learnable parts. That's a teacher. He can take things and he'll break it down into various steps. That's the way teachers work. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Here a little. There a little. It's good, isn't it? It's good. That's a teacher. Now, that is not necessarily a teacher as the fivefold ministry, who is an elder in the church. It's somebody that just has that gift. Some children's teachers are that way. I remember a pastor that we had that when he'd take a little child and begin to teach him, you know, those little children, their eyes would get big, you know, and I mean, he could just tell a story in such a way that every one of them were just ready to go. Henrietta's got a real gift at teaching children. A real strong gift at teaching children. Because she doesn't mind just getting right down to where they need to have it said. And by the way, every preacher talks way above what he ought to talk. He ought to just be talking like he's talking to children too, you know. That's the way to get the word across. So you don't have to be trying to wonder what the next big word's going to be. I try to explain my words. If I don't, remember, you have to just lift your hand up, because sometimes one will slip out of me too. It says, if you're a teacher, use your gift in teaching. If you are a counselor, use your gift to comfort and exhort. Well, man, I'll tell you what, I see this gift in the body. And it's not through the fivefold ministry, it's through different people. You know, it's the one you think of when you need counsel. They're counselors. And that may not be their primary call, but they have a gift of counseling. And I'm not talking about psychological counseling. I'm not talking about Freudian counseling. I'm not talking about those things which separate themselves from the Word of God. I'm talking about somebody that will exhort you and help you to go where you should go in the Word of God. They always see that. And that's a counselor. And it says, use your gift to comfort and exhort. If you're someone who gives, did you ever think about this, that that's one of the major ministries in the body is a giver? There are people that are givers. They're gifted in giving. And you have them in every congregation, but I mean to tell you, it's an amazing thing to watch. They give. And you know, because they're givers, they're specially gifted in giving, and you know, it isn't always rich people. It's just people that just know how to give, and God blesses them. Shouldn't everybody give? Well, of course they should, but some are specially gifted. Do you understand what I'm saying? Can you see where all of us give, but that the ones that are specially gifted kind of take up the slack for the ones that either don't have the revelation or don't have the means? Can you see that? Can you see that counselors in the body take up the slack for those that aren't so good at counseling and need counsel, right? There's a weakness. Can you see that teaching fills a need? People are able to put that line upon line and help us to see things, help us to do things. A teacher doesn't just tell about things, he tells you how to do it, how to walk in it. It says, if you are a counselor, use your gift to comfort and exhort. If you're someone who gives, do it with simplicity and generously. If you're in a position of leadership, lead with diligence and zeal. Can you see, again, these are all things that they're not part of what we call the fivefold ministry, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, which are given to edify or to build up or to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. These are the saints that have been equipped right here in chapter 12. Now, if you go over to 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm not going to take you there right now, but we see 9 different manifestations of the Spirit. They are a different thing than this. These are the gifts that motivate us. These are the things that motivate us in the body. All of us have some of these. Then there are those who are called into specific places in the body. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And then there are each and every one of us in congregational meetings or out on the streets and the highways and byways that are manifesting certain giftings of the Spirit. Right? And the reason I say that, in the assembly, is generally where you hear prophecies, right? Where you hear tongues and interpretation would generally be as we gather together, as we assemble. But you know, you see gifts of healings where? Well, you see some in the church, but you see them in hospital rooms, right? You see them in people's homes. Those are manifestations of the Spirit of God that just manifest. You see gifts and workings of faith. You know, we don't hear a lot of the testimonies about it, but I mean to tell you, there are some powerful, powerful things that happen like that. And the main one you think about is when the dead are raised, a gift of faith has taken place. You know, that's what that is. Someone speaking to the dead. But there's also discerning of spirits. Most of us have experienced it at one time or another, but there are people who are strongly working in that all the time, right? So we see those are manifestations of the Spirit. So there was the three inspirational gifts, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. Then we have three power gifts. That's the working of miracles, gifts of healings, and the gift of faith. And then we have three, let's see what they are now. Let's see if I can get the classifications right. Discerning of spirits. Help me out. What? Word of wisdom and word of knowledge. These are the, what do we call those? It's escaped me right now, but you can see a word of wisdom is knowing something that's going to happen. A word of knowledge is knowing something that has happened or is happening. And the discerning of spirits is knowing what spirit's functioning, what spirit is moving. So we see those things can happen to any of all of the body of Christ.
Pastor Terry, would you regroup that again in the three groups?
Okay.
Bird's eye, one over.
Okay, just tongues, interpretation. Mm-hmm. Tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecy.
Okay.
All right? Those are the, I guess we call those the vocal gifts. The vocal gifts. All right. Then you've got gifts of healings,
right,
working of miracles,
mm-hmm,
and the gift of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the power gifts. And then the inspirational gifts are the word of faith, or the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits.
Okay?
Okay?
Those third ones are called what? The
inspirational
gifts. So, those things work in the body. What do they do? Well, first of all, you have people working out their graces, right?
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the whole body. And then you have the supernatural manifestations working in the middle of that so that there is life in the middle of everything. It's not just the ordinary bent, the ordinary moving, but you also have that supernatural part that's invested in us. And God wants that in His body all the time. I really believe that that's one of the things that is sad about our churches is that we get excited to the point that, wow, did you know what happened in our church today? We had a word of prophecy. Well, yeah, that should be going on, right? We should have prophecies. Yeah, and someone spoke it. Well, yeah, that should happen. People should be speaking in tongues and someone should be interpreting and there should be. Now, listen. That doesn't mean that we demand those things all the time, but they should be normal Christianity. They should not be thought of something strange, something that's rare, right?
Often it's taught that those are spirits of confusion, and that's wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of churches teach it spirit of confusion.
Yeah. But there's no confusion there, is there? If it's done by the Spirit of God, the Bible tells us where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace, right? There's shalom. So there won't be confusion. But you're right, that's what we are taught. And let's give due where due is due. That, you know, sometimes the way we have functioned in these gifts in some places have given reason for people to believe that about it. There have been times when we've seen those things done.
We lost our anticipation and our awe of the power.
That's
of God.
True.
It's those things are meant for another time, another place. We do not grasp and pull in that it is true and it is the bread of the children and it is the life.
That's right.
And that we've become numb, I guess?
Yeah. Yeah, we become natural instead of supernatural. That's what we become. And we are supernatural. The inside of us is supernatural. And so it ought to be emanating from us. We ought to be expecting these things to happen. And the gifts and the callings that God have given us, we said this last week, are without repentance. He hadn't changed his mind about them. Right? The gifts and the callings of God. Listen, if the way the Apostle Peter operated was of God, how many believe it was? Was of God? Then that kind of operation still should be valid today, right? You don't see too much of that. Now, you know, we see some brash people, and I think Peter was brash, but we don't see that supernatural part of it, where people are bringing people out into the streets and laying them down so that our shadow might fall on them. Or that people are taking handkerchiefs from the body of Paul's and laying them on sick people. We don't see a lot of that being done, and yet it should be. It should be normal Christianity. It should be something we expect. We've also said that if you've been fit into the body someplace, God doesn't change His mind about you if you've missed it. How many of you have missed it? Could I see the hands of those that have missed it? We might as well be honest here today. We've missed it, haven't we? We've blown it. But you know what? That's not the end. If you'll come back and if you'll do teshuvah, which is repentance, then make a turn. I like to start with a physical turn. Someone says, well, you need to have the change of mind first. I don't know about that. Sometimes I think I get my mind that's still fighting me, and if I'll just force my body to do something, I can get my mind in too. Remember, your spirit's willing. Your flesh is weak, right? And so if I just, you know, by the Spirit, just go ahead and turn myself around, then my mind will come along eventually. My mind's slow sometimes. I know some of you have noticed this, but it's a fact. God doesn't change His mind about us. And you are called to a specific place. We talked about it last week. Is it possible to lose that place? Yes. Esau lost his place, someone said here last week. And it was a fact. We looked at it. Esau lost his place. Other ones lost their place. Judas lost his place. Some came back that lost their place. Peter lost his place momentarily. Did you know that? Peter, in fact, listen, it wasn't over after Peter cried. It wasn't even over after he saw Jesus, because when we read later on, Peter says, I'm going fishing. He wasn't talking about a weekend fishing trip. Peter was saying, I'm leaving the ministry and going back to fishing. He almost lost his place, but he didn't.
We were reading Moses, how he kept saying, but.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
And God got so angry at him, he almost killed him.
Yep, that's right. That's right. He turned around and found his place again. And we can do the same thing. If you've missed it, listen, the call is still there, because the gifts and the callings of God never change. Now, let's think about this a little bit. God doesn't change His mind. God called you to a specific place, and you're not going to lose that place. Is that right? Say, I'm not going to
lose my place.
Now listen, that's valid for you to say that. There's nothing boastful about that at all. That's just saying what God says about you. You don't have to lose your place. But you need to know this. You don't begin in your final place. And this frustrates people oftentimes. People, many, many times, we begin to hear about our place and we begin to think, well, this is where I will end up. This is it. This is all there is. No. We're growing. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18, it says, grow in grace. Grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You don't start in your full grace. Is grace given? Yes. But you don't start there. You're not capable of receiving the full grace of God. You start where you are. Where is that? Where are you?
Where we're at.
I'm right here, right? This is where I am right now. This is where I'm starting from today on. This is where I am. But you don't begin there. But if you follow Him, listen now, if you follow Him, you'll go from faith to faith. Now we're talking about growth today. Growing. You'll go from faith to faith. How many of you know the Bible talks about faith to faith? You'll go from grace to grace. Growing grace. You go from measure or portion to portion. God will keep giving you a greater portion. And you'll go even from place to place. Your place may grow stronger. In fact, I believe it does. Now, look at the natural body. Does any part of your natural body grow stronger? What part grows stronger? Your heart can grow stronger. What else? Dan was out this morning. Dan works to keep his physical body strong. He is out here, I mean, if, what was it, 14 below when you got here? 16 below? He's out here shoveling those walks. I went out and I said, listen, that's enough for today. Don't worry, especially back in the back there. You don't have to do that. Yeah, I do. He said, I want to finish this. Well, what's he doing? Part of his body's stronger than it used to be. And, you know, we watch these guys that lift weights or ladies that go to curves. Are they building muscle? Sure they are. Sure they are. They're building parts of their body. That's physical body. We build our minds, don't we? Now, the way to build your mind is with the Word of God. That's the way to build it. Too much of what we do is listening to other people. I'm thinking about some of the literature I had to read when I was in college. Man, that's nasty. Some of the stuff we read. I remember one particular professor I had that was just really enamored on with some kind of letters to God where it really was blasphemous stuff. And yet he went over that all the time in class. Now this was back in 1961. Do you suppose things have turned any since then? And I'm telling you what, you better have your children strong before they go to college because, it's not good. It's not good, the kind of stuff they get. But if you follow God, you can build, right? You can grow. And that's what we need to do. The ultimate place. Say ultimate. What does ultimate mean? What is your ultimate place? Well, we don't probably any of us really know for sure exactly what that is. The ultimate place in Him. See, right now we're in the body, and I've got to tell you that the body of Christ is not full yet, is it? The body of Christ in the earth is limited by those of us who are members in it. And so we know that there's parts of the body that need to be built, right? Well, we've been looking to discover our place. And I believe we're seeing some things about it. I believe we're learning some things about it. I believe we're growing in this. And yet, at the same time, you need to understand that where you are today is not where you'll end up if you continue to follow God and let Him do the work in you. If you let Him exercise you. You like that word, exercise? The Bible says, exercise yourself therefore unto godliness. It says, bodily exercise profits a little. But we're supposed to be exercised unto godliness. We're growing in Him. We're going up. We're coming from faith to faith, from grace to grace, from measure to measure, from place to place. I believe the fullest, which is ultimate, right? Ultimate would be the furthest place or the fullest extent. That would be ultimate. I believe that is shalom. I say, I believe it's shalom. Now, we think about shalom as being in a state of shalom. But I think about this. The way we talk about shalom around here is that nothing missing, nothing broken. Can we enter into that? Yes. It's ours. It's a place where we're doing fully what we're supposed to be doing. Now, this may not happen until just before Jesus changes us all. But I believe it'll happen. And I believe as it's happening, the stronger we get, the more we're going to see of the Revive Us song. People coming that are hopeless, coming in and hearing and being changed. I believe all of that's going to take place as these things happen. I only go up. How about you? I'm going forward. Amen. Say no backsliding. We're going up. We're arising. Proverbs 4:18 says, "But the path of the just is as a shining light." Listen, this is my path. A shining light. It's already there, but it's getting brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. Listen, it doesn't get dimmer any step. It gets brighter as we go. More brightness. How long? Till the perfect day. Say, I will be what God wants me to be. Say, I can do what I'm supposed to do. Here's the key. What God speaks to you, don't argue with Him. We talked about Moses a minute ago. Moses argued, didn't he?
He said, but I can't do this.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. There's a lot of yeah buts in the Bible, aren't there? These guys that say, yeah, but. And there's a lot of them around us nowadays trying to talk us out of what God says. But I'm telling you, you can do what God wants you to do. What do you say when the Lord speaks to you? We should have three words in English or one word in Hebrew.
Here am I.
Here am I. Here am I. Here am I. Hineni is the Hebrew. Hineni. Hineni. Oh, one of the Messianic songwriters wrote a song called Hineni. Hineni. Is it Marty Goetz, I think, wrote that beautiful song. Here am I. That's the way to get. Yeah.
This morning I was getting ready and I was saying to the Lord, is this really it? This is really where I'm at? I don't understand, right? And I'm doing that and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, and what did Mary say? And I said, Father, I'm sorry. This is your life. Be it unto me as you see fit.
That's right.
Use me for your glory.
Right.
And that is that. That's the power.
Yeah.
Because we don't have the omnipotence of God.
Mm-mm.
We don't understand that this situation here, what it's going to be, the huge river that comes out over here. And it's that trust and that laying down. And I thought, yes, Father, here am I.
That's
you
right.
know, be it unto me. And that
according
is that
word.
That submission. I
That's
guess
it.
Submission
That's it.
Is not yeah. a happy word in our culture.
No, it isn't, but it works.
But it's an important word
yeah.
of that lordship. And that trust that He is a good God.
Yes, He is.
And He will not harm us. And it is not payback. And it isn't a mistake.
That's right.
He is in control.
That's right. And we can trust Him implicitly. Mm-hmm. He will not do anything. Listen, not one thing, not one step in your life that He ordains is against you. It's for you, right? You know that. And so no matter what it seems like, we know that we can trust Him with everything He said. I have a specific grace in me. I have specific gifts in me, and I can be what my Abba wants me to be. You believe that? Say that. Say, I have
specific grace in me.
I have specific gifts in me. They enable me to be what my Abba wants me to be. Amen. Amen. That's your Father. What He wants you to be. Do you believe Philippians 4:13? Well, of course you believe it. It's in the Bible. But what does it say? Look at the screen and say it out loud. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Say it again. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. One more time. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You might say to me today, well, it doesn't seem that way sometimes. Well, I want to tell you part of your problem. You don't open your mouth and say it. Because I'm going to tell you something, that even when I'm not getting it done, as long as I'm saying it, I feel like I can.
Amen.
You say, well, are you lying to yourself? No, I'm just progressing. I'm just growing. I'm not getting it done all yet. I've not grown to where I will be yet. I haven't come to my ultimate place yet, but I believe that I can. Do you?
Amen.
I believe I can. I believe I will. We talked about this from the Romans point of view today, but let's read it again here. It says, from Ephesians 4:7, it says, unto every one of us is given grace. Every one of us is given grace according to the measure. Say measure. According to the measure. That's the portion of the gift of Christ. Now, if you read in John, I believe it's like 3:35. I may be wrong on that. Could be another chapter and verse, but the Bible tells us that Jesus was not given the Spirit of God with measure. Now, what does that mean? Unlimited. He was totally in tune with the Spirit of God. And he was totally in tune with the Word of God, wasn't he? But for us, you know, we have all of this by portion, don't we? I have a portion, you have a portion, but my portion is important and your portion is important. Mine's not more important than your portion is. My portion has the same validity that your portion has. We all have a portion. So it says every one of us is given grace according to the portion of the gift of Christ, or the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now when did that happen? When he ascended up on high. What did he do when he ascended up on high? What did he say? He said, I'll not leave you as orphans. I will send you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Right? Who is that? This is the Holy Spirit. The Ruach HaKodesh has been sent into our lives to empower us. How did we receive him? We received a portion. You received him, but it's still a portion to us, isn't it? Because I'm not the body of Christ, but I'm a member. I'm a part of the body of Christ. It says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting, perfecting, better word is equipping. In fact, the New American Standard Bible says equipping. For the equipping of the saints. So remember now, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are important ministries in the body, but they're not the only ministries, and they're not more important than the other ministries, are they? No, they have no more importance than other ministries. Their work is important because they are equipping the saints. Who's the saints? All of the body of Christ. They're equipping the body of Christ, we could say, for the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Everybody's ministry, that includes mine, is helping somebody grow. Somebody to be built up. Every one of our ministries, that's what they're for. Your ministry is to help somebody else grow. To help other members of the body to grow. My ministry is the same way. Doesn't make any difference. An apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, they have that, but they do it in a kind of a fundamental way in that they are supplying a equipping for the saints, the whole body, to do what? What people have thought the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher could only do. But no, they're to do the work of the ministry. All of the work of the ministry is to be done through the body. Verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So think about that. What is that process that's going on? Till we all come. That word, of course, is until we all come. until we all come. What's the process that's going on here? All come unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What would you call that verse? That's the growth verse, isn't it? Isn't that the maturing and growing up verse? That's what it is. We're all in this together, and all of us are coming to a place where we're growing up into Him unto the full measure, unto completeness. Each portion becomes greater as that happens, doesn't it? Well, I'm sure that it will end up in that, yes. That would be the final, yeah, till we're all with Him and seeing Him face to face. But actually, as it goes on, we're all growing, each one of us. Each one of us has to grow. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing if only just you only worked one muscle? Just one muscle. The one that comes to mind, of course, is the bicep. Always, that's where guys always stop, you know, look at the bicep. Wouldn't that be a funny looking guy to see if Odie just had a big bicep, but the rest of his body was scrawny? And
isn't there that scripture that says that when one member of the body hurts, that it hurts, the whole body suffers?
Yeah.
And that's why I believe that as the body of Christ, we are available for each other, and we pray for each other, and we build each other up, because even if we don't see that pain or the challenges in their life, it makes them less effective, which therefore makes us
the whole body
less effective.
That's right. That's
and
right.
And just my gratefulness for all of you that, you know, in a freak out or a question, to call. And that we are there to undergird each other.
That's right.
And the importance for praying for each of us.
Amen. Amen. That's right. That's where it is. And the one other thing, the old saying was that the chain is only as strong as what? The weakest link. So would that work with the body too? That if the body, you know, let's think about this for a second. You've had your body where you were feeling really good, you're just feeling great, and then you make the mistake of hitting your thumb with a hammer. You've done that, haven't you? Have all of you smashed your thumb at one time or another, or a finger? You were feeling good up to that point, but what happens after that? The whole body suffers, doesn't it? When one part is hurting, the whole body is hurting. Amen?
Amen.
It's interesting to note that when one part of the body is exalted, there's another dynamic that comes in, and that is that the whole body rejoices. Amen. The whole body rejoices when there's exaltation. But that's right. That's good. That we henceforth, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. Well, you see there, what I said about 13 is true. We're growing up. That we be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I'm telling you what, there is more of that going on today. And a lot of it's just distractive stuff. Just stuff that distracts. People carry people off with all kinds of foolish things. And people, I'm amazed at all of the different fads, I guess I'd call them, that keep arising within the body. They don't produce anything. They don't produce anything. They don't help the body at all. They just keep the body busy. Here's what the scripture says. But speaking, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. Well, that's what the whole thing comes back to, isn't it? We grow in faith, we grow in grace, we grow in measure, we grow into our place, and from place to place. And it's all by love. That's what holds the whole thing together, isn't it? Is the love. We're growing up, we're becoming mature in our grace. We're becoming mature in our faith. We're becoming mature in our measure and place. Here's what Paul said. He said, I'm not boasting of things without our measure or our portion. That is other men's labors. But having hope when your faith is increased that we shall be enlarged. You see, faith can be increased. I said, faith can be increased. You don't have to stay where you are. That we shall be enlarged by yours, by you, according to our rule abundantly. And then in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we find out this same thing. But we are all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. And we're changed from what? The same image, from glory to glory. Glory to glory. It's getting greater, isn't it? We're growing. Amen. That's what growing is. We're getting better and better in filling our place. Say that. We are getting better and better in filling our place. We are growing. Say that. As we answer the call. And we're developing to our ultimate place. How do you do it? Well, I'm going to tell you the way you do it is pursue it. We don't stop. We just keep going after it. Yeah, but I don't feel like I'm getting any place, Pastor. Pursue it anyhow. Just keep going. Yeah, but sometimes it's hard. I know it's hard, but just keep pushing. But sometimes I get tired and I want to quit. I know I get tired too, but just keep going. Just keep pressing on. Just keep following. Just stretch yourself. You ever done a workout where you just had to keep stretching yourself, have a personal trainer working with you? I never had a personal trainer. I had a football coach. That's what I had. I had a football coach, but boy, he wanted to stretch us. And we'd do all that we could do, and he'd say, just a few more now. About 10 more. You know, he'd be to the end where you'd just about be on your face, but he'd be stretching us. Well, I want you to know you can do that in the body. You can keep stretching yourself out and moving onward and heading onward and don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. That's right.
You'll drag yourself down.
That's right. That's right. And you'll be like Elijah. You'll be sitting by a stream waiting for the birds to feed you if you don't watch out. We don't have to be that way, do we?
No.
We don't have to be feeling sorry for ourselves. That's one of the things the enemy uses most often is to get us down. But the Bible says, Hosea 6:3, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord, His going forth is prepared as the morning. He shall come unto us as the rain, the latter and former rain on the earth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. There's a different anointing for planting than there is for... There's a different anointing than there is for planting than there is for watering. We have different anointings, don't we? Some of us are sowing anointings, and some of us are watering anointings, and that's all right. It's good to be a watering anointing. I probably am more of a watering anointing most of the time than I am a sowing anointing. Because I'm taking the body of Christ and reminding you of things that you already know. Bringing them together for you. Watering them so that you can grow up. And so don't think it's too bad if you don't always have some new thing to sow into someone. That's not a bad deal at all. That's good. You can be a part of the body if you're just causing the body to just continue on. Follow on. Continue. Stand. Stand. Say stand.
Stand.
You notice the Levites in Numbers 18. And I'm just about done here. But he says, I behold, I have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. To you they are given as a gift of the Lord. Wow. Did you ever think that look at the Levites. Now there were Levites who were Kohathites, and the Kohathites were a part of the family of the Levites, and they were the priestly family. Aaron and Moses were Kohathites, right? And they did priestly duties. But who were the Levites? Well, Moses and Aaron were Levites, but there were many other families. What were the other ones' names? Merari and... I can't remember them right now, but there were other families. I think there were three sons. And each one of those groups had different parts. The Levites, the majority of them, and remember this, for every priest, there were dozens of other Levites. For every Kohathite, there were many other Levites. And what did the Levites do? Yeah. In fact, you could say that they set up and they packed up and took it down. Every time the cloud would move, right, they had this mobile thing about them that they had to take down the entire tabernacle. They had to dismantle the altar. They had to cover the Ark of the Covenant. Well, actually, I suppose Aaron did that. But they covered it, and then they had to carry it. Well, part of them did. Carried it on their shoulders. The others had to carry the tent, the boards. And there were a lot of boards. By the way, you never saw a tent like this. This tent had planks in it. This tent had a framework. It wasn't just an aluminum frame. It was solid. It was overlaid with gold. And this, all of this had to be taken down and moved. Who did that? The Levites. The Levites. Now there was a man by the name of Korah. You remember Korah? It's one of the great portions in Scripture. And Korah decided, yeah, I'm a Levite and I want to be a Kohathite. I think my family should be part of the priestly family. He got out of his place. The earth swallowed up Korah, didn't it? It wasn't a good place to be. Here's what I want you to see. God says, I've taken your brethren, the Levites. That's one entire tribe. And I have given them as a gift to the Lord to do the service of the tabernacle and the congregation. If Korah could only have seen that his gift was a big gift. He had a mighty gift. If he only could have understood that. And if he would have valued his gift and gloried in his gift. See, I believe this is where we need to be. Growing where we are. Not trying to become something we're not. And especially not getting discouraged and not trying to become anything. See, some people do that. They just decide, well, you know, I don't know what I am. I've never known. I never will know. But I say in this body, we are going to know and we are going to function and we're going to do what we're supposed to do. Kim spoke about it this morning. There's a day coming when there's going to be people all around this county that need us. Are you listening to me? There are people all around this county and they'll be coming in from other places too that are going to need us. And, you know, I'm not the focal point. You need to understand that. They need us. They need the body. They need the body of Messiah. Yes, there are other churches going to be doing the same thing. But in this church, this is where we're responsible because God set us where it pleases Him. And we need to be available and ready and working and developing, growing in that area till we come to our ultimate place and we're ready for that. Because I do believe that just before Jesus comes is when all of this is really going to come into its fullness. Do you believe that? I really believe it. And I believe we're very, very close to it. But there's things going to be happening. Things going to be happening that if somebody had told you about it before, it probably would have caused you to tremble. But we're going to see things that are so great and so mighty. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Great things. And it's going to take it. Just imagine this with me just for a moment. If every born-again believer... Now just imagine this now. If every born-again believer would take his place in the body. Think about it. Now I'm not talking about living word. I'm talking about every born-again believer in the whole body of Messiah were to take their place where they are and grow and become the ultimate thing that God wants them to be. If they would serve. If they would tithe. You know, I saw this many, many years ago. If the whole body of Christ were tithing, there would be so much money that no church would know what to do with it. That's a fact. If the whole body were giving just their tithe, bringing their whole tithe into the storehouse, what a great supernatural move would be loosed on this earth right then. Can you imagine the mission projects that could be taken care of? I mean, things would be changed overnight. Everybody ready to move. Everybody ready to work. Everybody ready to serve. Everybody giving of themselves to the body. Now, that isn't all done in the church. It isn't all done in the church house. But it is done through the church, isn't it? The church reaching out into the community and doing things, speaking things, preaching, teaching, healing the sick, building congregations. This is what we're called to. This is our destiny. He's called you. What's your answer?
Here am I,
Hineni. Everybody say it. Hineni. Here am I, Lord. How many of you know He's called you?
Amen.
Amen. Is there anybody here that doesn't know they're called? Well, you got only one answer then. Hineni. Amen. Praise God. Father.
Chosen territory.
Yes.
We are fearfully and wonderfully
yes.
made, and not to listen that we are without value and we are without worth. We are the daughters and the sons of
yes.
the Most High
yes.
God, and that not to listen to the seducing song of the enemy of your love. He gave his life for you, and we can rest and trust Hallelujah. And know that it is well. It is well in our souls, it's well in our spirits, for our God reigns.
Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. Father, we hear that word. We know that that's a word from you, and we receive it. Lord, we have discerned it to be true. We have discerned it to be from the throne of grace, and we thank you for it. We thank you for it. And Lord, we want to take our place in you, in that place of love that you have for us, in that place of safety that you have for us, in that safe of walking and producing and bringing forth fruit in this earth. We thank you that you've called us unto it. We will become what you've called us to be. We will take our ultimate place in the name of Yeshua. Amen. And now Yahweh bless you. Yahweh keep you. Yahweh make His face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom. Say shalom.
Shalom.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.